Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Saturday, December 17th. The Ravens just lost 13-3 to the Browns in not a very fun game to watch. Frustrating one, winnable game. Certainly, they left a lot of points out there, and some people are pretty hot about this one. I don't know if I am. I don't know if that's just Jakey positive or whatever, but I don't know. I predicted a loss here.
You thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, I predicted a loss. They're 9-5. Lamar's probably coming back this week. It's just kind of like a flush it game for me. But how are you feeling?
Yeah, it was an ugly game. It was an AFC North soup du jour, and the serving bowl of the soup was a pig's trough. It was just a messy, sloppy shit show, and I don't know. It was a stupid performance in many ways. Obviously, you know, want them to run the ball a little bit more. It seemed like they were trying to, like, it's like establish the run. Everybody always talks about establishing the run. It felt like they were trying to establish the pass a little bit to make you respect that just so they could run the ball. Bust a couple off, have a couple plays, but at the end of the day, you know, Huntley played like poo-poo. They could have run the ball a couple more times. It was probably looking back, feeling stupid, but same time, it kind of feels like, all right, I feel like they were just going to lose. Like, let's say that they didn't, quote-unquote, abandon the run. Everyone say abandon the run. Let's say they run the ball a little bit more. Let's say they do punch in a touchdown. Tucker misses a field goal. They have a field goal blocked. They have a face mask. Random face mask deep in Browns territory is going to put them in good position. Felt like, hey, they run the ball a little better. Maybe their offense plays a little better. They're going to end up letting up a touchdown and losing. It just, sometimes it's not your fucking day. They didn't help themselves. They didn't do any favors. Greg Roman didn't do himself any favors. They get into the fourth down indecision shit that it feels like they've been doing a good job avoiding for a lot of the season, and especially over the last couple of weeks. And they get to that 4th-and-4 situation. They're fighting the play clock. And all that stupid shit. So it was just a dumb, crappy, poorly coached performance by the Ravens. And it sucks. It's frustrating. You know, it's not very enjoyable to watch in the holiday festivus, and it's Saturday, and you'd love to maybe have this on a 1 o'clock Sunday a little bit more so as opposed to on the Saturday. And then you feel all poo-poo-y all weekend from it or whatever. But 1-1 road games in your division with your backup quarterback. You're probably going to go 1-1. Going 2-0 is very impressive. Going 1-1 is about what you expect. Going 0-2 would have been very unimpressive. So, yeah, it was a shit show. They didn't do well. They got outcoached a little bit. I don't even say that they outcoached themselves. Like the Browns.
Yeah, like that's the interesting thing is I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm seeing a lot of the Roman stuff, which we're seeing every single week at this point, and rightfully so to an extent. But one Andre Luke was actually giving me an earful too before I got in here. Telling me all about that kind of stuff, how it was poor coaching. And I was like, yeah, you're right to an extent, like poor clock management before the half, some weird stuff offensively. But
so I wrote down about that one. I was just kind of jotting some thoughts down. So I would try not to tweet until the game's decided and just not being, you know, super reaction to take city. But so I think they enter that drive with, and obviously they're trying to double up there. You are going to get the ball back after the half. Tried a little too hard. So they had three timeouts, and I wrote down to myself, great job saving three timeouts for the double up situation. Then they get into it. They're going no huddle, tick, 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 tick. You know, they're working up the field. It's like, I feel like they could have used the timeout nice and early and just rounded things out a little bit. I could talk a lot about this. I'm going to kind of cut it short, basically. You know, Isaiah likely could have gone out of bounds. I think he could have tried a little harder to go out of bounds.
I think he did. I'm getting tired of these fucking refs injecting themselves into games and just stopping plays.
It doesn't even matter. They end up getting into field goal range anyway, but that was just kind of that and going for it on 4th-and-1 and, you know, the Pat Ricard fullback dive, and it feels like you probably can have him go dig a trench for Gus Edwards to go burrow through instead. They got back to their old demons that have plagued them over the last couple of years in this game. So you hope that it's a reminder, a nice stinging slap to the face of, hey, don't start second guessing yourself. Don't start doing this fourth down shit. Either fucking do it or don't. Don't start playing around and should we do it? Should we not? What do you want to do? What's your call going to be? Then all of a sudden it's 4 seconds. Tyler Huntley's rolling out and trying to go throw that little dart on the sideline and all those things. And when you have a backup in, you got to water shit down. You can't be playing that high stress mentally on yourself. It puts the quarterback into a high stress environment. And I would say, you know, Huntley's never really been like, you know, a killer. He feels like a backup you can win with, not because of, in many ways. While that is, you know, kind of a silly thing to say, but this was his first real fucking clunker. I mean, it sucks. They had a shitty day. They big brained themselves and Huntley comes up short.
Yeah, it really was a lot of just sort of getting in their own way with some of the stuff. I think the before the half thing, that was just really stupid to me. And it felt like playing scared a little bit. It felt like, you know, they were trying to do the 2-for-1 situation, which I totally get, but it's like, they weren't even trying to like get into Cleveland territory. They were just letting that thing run down. And it's like, man, let's get a little bit more aggressive than that. Yeah. The going forward on fourth down,
I think they could have ran the ball there a little bit, you know, yeah.
They could have run the ball after that. And like, that's sort of the thing where people are talking about coaching and I get it, but like they only threw it twice more than they ran it. I think looking at the box score that I don't know if that's exactly correct, but
there were a couple situations where they definitely got pass happy. I think people are going a little crazy.
They're
going to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, but they were in negative game scripts for like most of the second half there. So I kind of get like trying to manage the clock a little bit, but it's like, yeah, that was for sure true. Like they should have run it more. They got in their own way on a couple of different situations where they're letting the clock run down again. And early on, like some people were getting chippy about that early. And we were actually talking a little bit in our group chat about how, oh, no, they're actually not. Like they're actually breaking the huddle and getting to the line in time. They're just running the clock down, which is what you want to do.
They're slapping the ball late, but they were at the line on time.
Exactly. But then late in the game, what happens? That starts to creep up on them again. And like, I guess where I'm at with it is I'm pretty much on board with a lot of what the complaints are right now. Like the wide receiver position is a fucking disgrace this year. And like, it's not going to get better this season, unfortunately. And Roman, like, I like the guy, but I'm good. Like I'm ready to move on. They're not going to do it in the season, whether they should or shouldn't. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, man. Like I'm not going to sit here and like rage about accountability. Like I think some people maybe want us to, because accountability, when you're a fan, it's a very zero sum game. It means fire the person. That's really all it means. Because like, what does accountability mean from outside of the building? It doesn't mean anything besides fire them. And I'm down to fire him, but I just don't think it's going to happen in season. I think they are going to move on from him after the season. I think they're not. I think they see what we're seeing just fine, and I think they're ultimately going to make that move. But it's not going to happen for now. There's no quick fix at wide receiver. That was a big problem going into the season. You and I both harped on it, and a lot of people harped on it more than us, and we were all right. It turns out. So that's an issue. The other things were an issue. You know, a lot of frustrations with this team. This is just not going to be a pretty watch, even when they win. We saw it last week. We've seen it with pretty much all their wins, probably since like week three or something at this point. Yeah, it's just never going to be a fun watch. And I don't know, man. The vibes are interesting. I'm curious to see what happens with Lamar Jackson here, because it does sound like he's going to come back against the Falcons. Was 2 weeks off. Is that kind of going to be a little bit of what the doctor ordered for him? Maybe take a step back, view the game from a different lens, get yourself some physical rest. Like the guy, you know, just like any quarterback, any player, he gets beat up. He gets mentally worn down. Maybe 2 weeks off, come back against a team like the Falcons at home, Steelers at home, could be a good spot for him. So ultimately, like, I guess to put a bow on my sort of rambling thing there is like a lot of people are, and I shouldn't say a lot of people, but some people, like I was going back and forth on Twitter, like talking about me being too positive because I use the phrase, like, I give him a hall pass for this loss. Like, ultimately, like, I'm with you guys on what the issues are. I just don't see them being fixed like this season. And ultimately, they're 9-5. So it could be a lot worse. And I get that people want better. I certainly do as well. But it just, I don't know. It is what it is right now. To very eloquently sum up all of what I just said, I'll just say it is what it is. Really, really nailed that. Good job by me.
Yeah, you touched on some good points. And it's like, in terms of firing Roman and all of those kinds of things, and you're absolutely right. What is the accountability? Like a hard talking to? It's got to be a firing. And not going to lie, horrible time to fire offensive coordinators, probably when your backup quarterback's coming in. So I don't think that works out time-wise. Maybe we do see it. Who knows? Maybe if they have a shit clunker against the Falcons.
At this point, have you ever seen it? Like, can you think of an example of it happening like this late in the season, like for any team? Because I don't think I can.
Isn't this like exactly when Cam Cameron was fired?
No, I thought that was maybe a few weeks prior. Yeah, you might be right, actually. Yeah.
I think it was almost the exact same date.
Yeah, you're right. I think they were 9-4 or 9-5. Yeah.
Cameron won just because
that's funny.
This team, and people will counter and say, oh, well, you can say the same thing about those Ravens, but this team's not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not. They're probably going to make the playoffs. They might scrap out. Again, they are imminently going to play the Titans at 4:25, January 14th on a Saturday, the first game of playoff wildcard weekend in Tennessee. That is going to happen. Them and the Titans are both dragging themselves, scraping their knuckles, bloody kneecaps to get into the playoffs, and they're going to go fight each other. It is happening. And there's nothing you can do to avoid it. So we'll get that shit show. They might win that one. They might lose that one. That's a toss-up probably to me on paper. You know, things will be different with injuries, whatever, yada, yada, yada. If we get there, we'll get there. I just feel like that's imminently going to happen. Sure, you can fire Roman, but just, again, it feels like what's the point? Like, I don't know. I just feel like what's the point?
You're spinning your wheels. Like, yeah, this is not 2012. Like, Anquan Boldin ain't walking through that door. Torrey Smith is not your wide receiver, too. Dennis Pitta is not. I mean, well, Mark Andrews is better than Dennis Pitta, but you're just not getting anything out of him. You know, for a variety of reasons, for his health, for the construction of this offense.
Like, I mean, Lamar probably is going to play, but it's like, look at Mark Andrews. When you have a knee injury and you have some kind of injury like that, you're not. Exactly. Bradley here in the comments. Bradley Wintering. We've accepted our 2022 ceiling. Can't really do much about it. Who knows? Maybe you can win one. See what happens. Not the year. And in that exact vein, it's just like Lamar's going to come back and save it. He's probably not going to be 100% still.
Yeah.
Like,
what I will say,
poor swollen knee. He's not going to feel like himself. So
what I will say is you made the very astute point in the group chat about how well he handles this running game. And J.K. Dobbins, shout out to that guy and to Gus, too, who looked very good. Those guys are fucking warriors, man. Like, they're not 100%, you can tell, but they do make a difference. All my running backs don't matter. All my hitters, you guys can take that all the way, because it might not be like, you know, it might not be zero sum, but they definitely do matter at least a little bit, because those guys are making plays that Kenyon
Drake. Just all replaceable. Like, yeah. You can tell that they're not all replaceable. If you don't want to draft them in the top 10, whatever, but you can tell.
I agree with that. I would not pick one in the first round, like, pretty much ever. But, like, those guys make a huge difference to this team. And they haven't really been on the field with Lamar Jackson yet this season. So if you get an 80% Lamar Jackson with those guys, and like I said, Lamar getting a little bit of time to clear his head, get right physically, maybe not all the way right physically, because obviously he's dealing with an injury. It's not like when he had COVID and he got to sort of take that sort of little hiatus. I don't know. You know, I think there's reason to believe that they could look a little bit better offensively, and I think they certainly will, because this was the nadir of the season offensively, you got to think.
It definitely was. And with Huntley, you know, they're playing for field goals. They play against the Broncos. They're grinding against the Broncos. It's just, at the end of the day, I mean, if you can't make a couple plays, you're not going to get it done. And this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl. It's just like, I feel like fighting the feeling of numbness just leads to a very postured frustration, and that you believe there is some sort of white whale to be chased this year. And just not fucking there, man. I mean, Rashad Bateman goes down, you are not going to be the same. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do offensively. Your offense is going to struggle. Your backup quarterback comes in. You don't have your wide receiver one. Your backs are doing their best, all this kind of shit. But I don't know. It sucks. People are tired of injuries. So, you know, after a while, that stuff isn't an excuse anymore.
Well, that they should be. Like, let's get rid of Steve Saunders. Like, you know, all the people that were, like, advocating for it, you know, I was kind of like, all right, what is that even really going to do? But, like, you hear the Derek Wolfe stuff, and I, you know, I have some of my issues with how he's handled that, but I think the way that he described what went on there, it just paints Saunders in a bad light. And, like, you look at some of the shit that's going on, it's just like, I'm good at this point. Like, let's, you know, if we're going to be making some changes this offseason, and they already did make changes last offseason to their nutrition and all that stuff, let's get that guy out of there and bring somebody else in.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers did the exact same thing. They had bad injury issues, fired everyone, and then they have a ton of injury issues again. So I think the strength, it's just like you're looking for a figurehead. It's like fire Fauci. Like, arrest Fauci. Like, all right. Steve Saunders being gone.
Wow.
No, shit just fucking happens. These gigantic athletes that are too big for their ligaments fuck them up, and it's hard to recover from them. And it's random. It happens. I feel like, you know, sure, fire him for the sake of it, because mix it up. It'll get everybody off your back. Like, what you gain is not having to hear about it anymore, probably. And
that's good. On my end, that's good enough for me, because I'm fucking tired of it. I'm tired of it. So, John, do me that favor.
There you go. Defund Fauci. Defund Steve Saunders.
Somebody, so. Nobody clip that.
So I don't know. You know, it's a numb feeling. I am excited. Like, what do you have left to look forward to? That Bengals game might end you in some pain and some hurt. You know, they're going to play the Steelers again. They're probably going to make the playoffs. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, those guys balled defensively today. They were pretty aces. I mean, they did a good job. I feel like if the Browns felt more pressure, the Browns probably could have made a couple more plays, to be honest. Could have scored into the 20s if they had to. Some of those things, especially Clay's Campbell goes down, Marcus Peters goes down in this one. Somehow the Ravens were better on third down than the Browns were. They held the Browns again to 30%. Yeah, they held the Browns to great radio. Where the fuck is it? Held the Browns to 5 of 15 on third down. The Browns do convert a couple short. You know, Jacoby Brissett, the greatest quarterback sneaker of all time, converts one. Whatever. So Patrick Queen has a major error in this one. He was, you know, clapping at himself, shaking his head on that touchdown there. But in the end, it doesn't even matter because they can't score more than 3 points. So I think that defensively, you know, good things. You feel good about that. And
they're hanging in there, man. I mean, 13 points on the road. That's not happening in the modern NFL. Like, you know, and I mean, maybe it is this year a little bit with the way offense has been down, but they're still doing good. I mean, Hamilton got picked on a little bit today. He also made some good plays around the line of scrimmage, like what I'm seeing from him. Roquan and Queen, I thought, looked good. Queen did have the over pursuit on that touchdown for DPJ. So that was tough, but man, they're still looking solid to me. Like, and it sucks to have Peters get hurt. His looked maybe a little bit more serious than Campbell's. I don't know. I hope they're both fine and, you know, they stay in the lineup, because they've been holding up their end of the bargain here, in my opinion.
They've allowed 14 points or less in four of their last five games. 13, 28 to the Jaguars, 9, 14 to the Steelers, 13 against the Browns. So defensively, you tip your hat to Mike McDonald. I was super impressed with the rep on 3rd and 5 inside the 5-yard line. The Browns align and trips right, and he doubles. He basically completely outside and inside shades. Like 50-50, has Marcus Williams come up and just cut off Amari Cooper. They knew that tendency was, if out of that formation, if you see this, you're going to go double the inside. They're going to try and throw that little quick slant. If not, then they're going to throw that smash, the smash corner route, and defended that one really well. So that was pretty cool. That Justin Houston face mask really, really bit them today. So
yeah,
it happens. You know, you're grabbing for a guy, you end up getting his face. You know, it's what it is, what it is. If he didn't, Sean Watson might have broken the tackle. If he didn't, whatever. So that drive stunk, but defensively they've done really well. They're trying to, and Cole's getting all emotional and pissy and whatever.
He's got to let the dog out every now and then.
Yeah, he does. And he's like, the Ravens are averaging 13.8 points per game. It's like, that's what they're like trying. This is what doesn't make sense. They're trying to win 14, 16, 13, 11, 10. They're trying to limit the possessions as much as they can, play defense. But then why don't you really lean into the run game more? I don't think necessarily it's a good idea to run J.K. Dobbins into the ground in this game, but Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, up the dosage a little bit. I think there are situations. Glenn Clark tweeted out a good one where it was a situation where it was like 2nd and 4. They go pass. 3rd and 4, pass. 4th and 4, pass. You probably get a first down. You know, 50-50.
Run it three times. Like, get into 4th and inches and just run that bitch. Like, so it's like
they're letting the situations get in the way of their philosophy, it feels like. So, and again, I really don't think they were going to win this one regardless. I think if you did run the ball, which they should have, if you did in those key situations, you give yourself a better chance. Maybe you can make a play. Maybe Deshaun Watson, when the pressure's applied, you know, throws a pick or something. It just felt like the Browns were in a better spot, more confident in this one, and weren't really second guessing themselves. So
it also gives me no pleasure to report this, but Deshaun Watson looking pretty good in that offense.
Yeah, it was nice and easy. It was very simple, and it's just thinking about what Baker Mayfield was doing and how much better Deshaun Watson will be at that. So super good guy, Deshaun Watson, gets a big fat W.
Yeah, no, I loved all his antics on the field today, signaling first downs and bitching to the refs. It's just really, welcome back to the NFL. We're all really happy to have you. And you want to talk about accountability? There's a guy who takes accountability for everything all the time. So great to have a character like this back in the league. Awesome to have him in the division. And I, you know, it just, it's great because it's going to make me like a guy like Joe Burrow, who's clearly a good guy. And we'll see what happens with Kenny Pickett. But it just, you know, what a, you know, what a pretzel my brain is in right now over this. What a disgrace of a situation.
It's ugly.
They're the losers here.
It's in the pig trough. It's all slop in the trough. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, Rashad Bateman goes down. Your offense is going to be limited. You're going to have to pull a rabbit out of a hat if you're going to make a run and go win a Super Bowl. And it's like people – I feel like people just want to see them, like, get to the AFC championship in reality to validate their feelings or whatever, make them feel better. But probably not going to happen. They're probably going to win 10 or 11 games and go to the playoffs and play the Titans and maybe win that one, maybe lose that one, and then go play in Kansas City or something and, you know, have to try and compete with the – the giant rooster himself, Patrick Mahomes, and something of the sort. So, I don't know. Don't beat yourself up too much on this one. Holidays, Bills, Dolphins going on. Sunday slate, Monday Night Football, all good things.
Yeah, you know, they're 9-5. At the end of the day, they're 9-5. You know, crack a beer, enjoy your holiday week here. Maybe you got the week off. Maybe you're that fortunate. Maybe you're just chilling with your family. You know, it's ultimately things are okay.
They're 9-5. They'll probably make the playoffs. They'll probably losing the wild card or divisional round. So I feel like when you say that, it's like, oh man, that really stinks, but it doesn't. And I think that's what people hate. People do want to see a Super Bowl. People do want to see those things, but you know, we talked about it in the off season. You don't put a weapon behind Rashad Bateman that can win isolated. What happens if he goes down? He went down last year. What happens in that situation? They don't have it. And everyone that they're bad coaches, fire Harbaugh. It's like they haven't, they basically went 2-1 with Huntley, who can't throw the ball downfield. He can't throw the ball downfield. He throws that bowling ball to Deshaun Jackson. Like he can't push the ball downfield. And they ended up outlasting the Broncos. They outlast the Steelers in Pittsburgh, go on the road again and can't do shit against the Browns and are just tripping over their own feet. I mean, they're fucking up jet sweeps. You know, and I feel like one of the most underrated things that Lamar Jackson does, and this is what we were talking about, you, Cole, and I, kind of during the game, is handle the football in the run game. The way he orchestrates and organizes that run game is something that is vastly overlooked. The timing, the cadence, the rhythm, all of those things Lamar Jackson is incredibly good at. So, it again, when you see him, maybe he is only 80%. It feels like that's probably the case, but him, Dobbins, Edwards executing it is going to be sharper and cleaner in that sense. So, beat the Bengals, man. Go beat the Bengals. Peek towards the Bengals. You know, they have to play the Bills still. If the Bengals go on a run and win, what, 14, 13 games, you tip your cap to them. I mean, if there's someone in your division who wins 13, 14 games, you're probably not going to win it. So it's gloomy. It's doom. Everybody's, you know, frustrated. But it's like at the end of the day, it sucks. But they've won some games. I feel like it's just kind of like a treading water situation. And
I think we lean towards this mindset just to give people a little bit of insight on this who are like, why are you guys so positive throughout all this? I think we kind of tend more towards this because we have to talk about this team for like multiple hours a week. So like, if you're like just kind of a fan and like not doing this type of thing, like I totally get just like, cause I probably used to be this way where you just like, you know, kick a trash can and you just shut the TV off and you sit there pissed off about it. And you're like, you know, think about all the negatives, but like, man, since I've started doing this, like, I don't know. I feel like I've had a little bit more of a bigger picture outlook. And yeah, I mean, to your point, like even having a bigger picture outlook this year is not that great. Cause like, I don't think they're going to win the big one, but you know, that's just a little bit of insight into like, I think where we come from with this kind of stuff.
You could be a Jets fan. You could be a Bears fan. You know, you want us to win the Super Bowl. You could be a Chiefs fan, but you're not right now. So, I don't know. Have all your emotional takes. Do whatever you do as you please. Fan is as makes you happy or makes you sad. If being sad makes you happy. But sure. At this point, you know, Lamar goes down late in the season, second year in a row. They don't have Rashad Bateman. Guys are coming in. Guys are going out. You know, they get in their own way today, but I don't know. I think they have made some chicken salad out of chicken shit at times this season in many ways, and the way they've had to handle integrating so many players coming back from injury. They got Bowser back. He plays well. He has a couple plays in this one and things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, sure. Alex Papier. The team failed Lamar. EDC did not give him a number one wide receiver. Sure, they gave him like three number twos. And then, you know, and it's like the Damian Woody tweets out and he's like, what the Ravens have at wide receiver is criminal or something like that. And it's like, fucking take the wide receiver one away from any team, probably other than the Chiefs, who don't kind of really have one. And they're the only ones that are doing that successfully. And they're probably going to stutter offensively. If you take A.J. Brown away, if you take Tyreek Hill away, if you take Stephon Diggs away, not that Rashad Bateman is that type of guy, but he can win in a similar way to those guys. He's not quite as spectacular as any of them. It's not what I'm getting after, but it just sucks. They should have prepared better in that situation. And at the end of the day, you're having a meltdown over, you know, everyone has to be fired because you lose a game with your backup quarterback. So it's just not quite that serious in this circumstance.
I think ultimately, they do need to do more wide receiver, I think. And I think they will. Like, I don't know. I think DaCosta,
Hashtag wide receiver discourse.
For sure. Yeah. I think DaCosta is a guy who learns from his mistakes. And he goes into an offseason with an idea of what he wants to fix based upon the weaknesses that he saw that season. Looking back at offensive line going into this year, that was kind of the thing that he improved upon. And maybe it came at the expense of wide receiver a little bit, which is unfortunate, as did his drafting strategy, which, you know, it's comes down to David Ojabo or George
Pickens. Decided to go cheap because they feel like if they pay a wide receiver $25 million in what they're trying to do, running the ball, playing defense, they're not going to get $25 million of play out of it. They're going to get $15 million of play out of it. And so they tried to go draft one. They tried to go draft another one. And Lamar likes to throw to bigger targets, likes to throw over the middle of the field primarily anyway, which is why they're not going to get a huge amount of play out of them. They want to run the ball and do those things. They decided to go that path. And all of the injuries that happened last season make that path very dark and shitty. And they had Bateman and Brown and Andrews, and they have no offensive line. And then they have no Lamar Jackson because they have no offensive line.
Yeah, they also they kind of got exposed for a little bit of a lack of depth last season, I think, in 2021. And that kind of did seem to be a focus this offseason. And I think that's proving itself to have been a good strategy for that respect. But, you know, you did skimp on wide receiver a little bit for it. And I think now you're a little bit more built up in those other spots. Like, what is really the weakness on this roster right now? Like, you know, they'll probably be weaker at corner this offseason. So you're going to have to fix that a little bit. We'll see what happens at edge with some of the aging guys. But, like, you know, fix that, fix the other thing. And then what's left to fix? Wide receiver. Like, they're in a pretty good spot in that respect. So, you know, looking ahead to...
And we'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson, if they pay him, if they don't. But I do feel like if they do pay him, they do agree on a contract. We'll see when that or if that happens. But I feel like it makes it easier when you have that down pat. Because paying a shitload for a wide receiver and then not having the quarterback, that feels like a mistake of sorts. So hopefully they're able to make that commitment in that sense. And if they get things done in that sense, then they can lock up a receiver. I feel like it's like, all right, now we can make the trade away the one, whatever. Go do it in that way. Once you have it all locked up, it's easier to make that decision. It feels like when things are locked up. So I don't know. I mean, Hollywood Brown, man, he's one of the best receivers they ever had, but he didn't fit what their identity was. They have a bigger, hard-nosed guy. Like, Ravens at their core need an Anquan Boldin type. They don't take Debo. They don't take AJ Brown. They don't take DK Metcalf, who are these physically imposing
George Pickens violent
football players and playmakers in that sense. They go get, you know, Lamar asked for Jerry Jeudy or Hollywood. They shouldn't have ever asked him. They should have just given him a beast.
Yeah, I mean, like, they probably should have learned their lesson there when Joe Flacco handpicked Tandon Doss out of fucking...
That was England. Like late round guys, whatever, taking a flyer. So it's like not even, it's like worse that they did it on a first round guy with two screws in his foot. And Hollywood was pretty
damn good. He was a good player. I'm not going to revise history with Hollywood Brown.
He's a good player.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of that. That's the macro of it all. And yeah, for me, this is just kind of like a nothing game, a total nothing game. Like, they're 9-5. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not really going to react to it too much at all, honestly. But yeah, like we said, you guys react however you need to react, and we'll move forward. Anything else on this amazing game that we had the fucking joy of watching for 4 hours of our Saturday?
Just the icing on the cake is the Vikings, as a Ravens fan, is the Vikings game going the full overtime. As it's on NFL Network and you can't watch it. Everyone's watching it on streams and on their phones. And
WBAL, baby. You just got to flip over to the
Another thing I want to mention, like, what the fuck is going on in the return game? Like, what the fuck?
Dude, Duvernay, like, I love the guy, but he's not been right now
in the return game. I don't know. They need to stop taking the ball out of the
end
zone.
He looks like he's been on fucking mind-expanding agents for the past, like, 3 weeks, like, back there trying to return that thing. And, like, it's been not good. I don't know, man. I don't know. Horton got my respect for calling that audible on the field goal block last week, but that's one thing you might want to try and tighten down there.
Maybe you want Justice Hill back there or something. Take a little pressure off Duve. Let him focus his efforts elsewhere because it's not working in the kick return game right now.
Let him focus his efforts on being an Emmy Award winning or a fucking Oscar winning jet sweep guy.
Right. So.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah. Anything else on this amazing game?
Just a nice Saturday afternoon in the pig trough.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great. So I know you got a party to get to. You know, I'm probably just going to take it easy tonight. So everyone, have yourselves a good pre-holiday weekend. It's a nice time of year, you know, whether you're working next week, whether you're in the office and you get to be a little bit checked out, hopefully. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year for a reason. Might not feel that way right now, but it's going to very soon for you. I truly believe that. So Ravens return home next week. Hopefully number 8 is going to be back under center and we can move on from this clunker of a game. But thank you guys for spending some of your Saturday night with us or anyone who listened on the pod feed after the fact. We really appreciate you all, your continued patronage throughout this holiday season. And we'll talk to you again soon. We got we got another Saturday game. We got Christmas Eve. Falcons coming to town, like I said. So that'll be an interesting one. We'll have plenty to say on that when it's time. But in the meantime, you can find us on social media. You can follow the show on Twitter at Podcast Beatdown. I am at Jake Luke. That's Luque. Spencer's at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. Thanks for listening, guys. Not such a fun game, but we'll shake it off and talk to you later.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Super Bowl out of me. Need that. Need that.